This is a comment on a call that we received a week or so ago. We were talking about the family bed. Family not meaning spousal, meaning family meaning spousal and children. And of course, my particular view of that is that, well, hey, I have no problems with a family bed. I think it's a great thing if that's what you want to do, but it's not for everybody. And remember, an awful lot of folks have a whale of a tough time getting their kids back in their own bed. On paper, the children are supposed to go, oh, mother, I'm 2.5 now. It's time for me to go to my own bed. Nighty-night. Mwah. That doesn't usually happen. Well, for folks who have had a positive experience with the family bed, and there are many, they sometimes say, you know, Dr. Ray, I think you're being coarse. You're not understanding a child's needs, and you are not recognizing that this could hurt the child. And a caller like that, essentially, that was her perspective. And she said, well, you're not a mother. And I said, well, how do you know that? You don't know what I look like. I could be a girl with just a deep voice, you know, bodybuilder. No. She said, you know, Dr. Ray, have you ever been a mother? No, I haven't. Okay. Well, this came in from Lena. And she said, commenting on the woman who called and said that since you're not a mother, you just don't know what it's like to get up in the middle of the night with a child. She said, now this woman is a college prof. I gave my students, this was an exercise she had done, I guess a while back, she taught a logics course. I gave my students a list of some 30 or so statements. Each of the statements reflected a logical fallacy, though the students didn't know that. I asked them simply to, quote, take this opinion poll, unquote, and mark whether they agreed or disagreed with each statement. There were usually three statements reflecting each logical fallacy that I wanted to illustrate. Distributed among the statements, I wrote these three statements, okay? They were just kind of sprinkled in there, so the kids really didn't have an idea that she was trying to pull something on them. Here's the first statement. Students have no business writing evaluations of teachers. Students have never been teachers, so they are in no position to say whether a teacher does his job well or not. Now, Lena noted that nobody agreed with that statement. I think that's kind of fascinating since they were all students and who are going to ultimately rate their teacher. Second statement, not next to it now, further removed into maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 statements later. What can priests tell us about marriage? Priests have never been married. Okay? Now she said that there was a mixed reaction to that. Some students agreed, some students didn't agree, depending predominantly on their attitude toward religion. Several statements later, here's another one. I went to a counselor after I had been assaulted. I asked her if she had ever been assaulted, and she said no. So I stopped seeing her. How can she help me if she's never been through what I've been through? She said not one single student agreed with that statement. They all thought it was stupid. Now, got this? Three statements. Students can't evaluate teachers. They've never been teachers. The kids said, well, that's ridiculous. Of course we can. Okay? Priests can't do marriage counseling. They've never been married. Half and half. Third statement, I went to a counselor after I had been assaulted. I asked her, ever been assaulted? No, I quit. How can she help me? And the kids all said, that's ridiculous. What kind of thinking is that? Since I had a discussion class as well as a writing class, I told the kids to bring the opinion poll to the discussion class and discuss their opinions and why they hold those opinions. Almost no one in the discussion said, but how can you say it is stupid to leave a counselor who has never been assaulted and at the same time say that a priest can't help you with your marriage? So, Dr. Ray, I can feel your what? Your amused frustration with the comment that you just don't know because you're not a mother? Lena said, I'm no good at math, but I guess being a father of 10 is almost the equivalent of being a mother of one. Being counselor to thousands probably gives you the equivalent of, let's say, maybe 6 months of being a mother. Well, I thought that was cute, Lena. I'm not here to defend myself, but I just thought that was a wonderful little exercise in human logic. Think about it. The next time you say to somebody, you can't help me. You've not walked in my shoes. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not so sure I'd want to go to somebody who's walked in my shoes. Let me ask you this. If you're struggling with infidelity in a marriage, do you want to go to a counselor who's been unfaithful in their marriage so they can know what it feels like? There, don't you feel better now? If you're taking care of an ill relative and they're terminal, do you want to find a counselor who's died? Come back? I mean, there's only really been one legitimate one of those, and unfortunately not a whole lot of people listen to his counsel. You see the logic problem here? I once said, I remember I was an intern. I was doing a group with a whole bunch of day hospital patients. Day hospital was an alternative to inpatient hospitalization. What we did is we had ex-mental patients come to a program essentially 6-7 hours a day at a veterans hospital. And I was running a group. And one fellow there who had an alcoholic diagnosis as well as spent time in a federal prison said to me, you can't tell us anything. Have you ever been in prison? I said, well, I'm married. No, I didn't say that. wait, excuse me. There. I smacked myself. For those of you who wanted to. I said, well, you're right. I've never been in prison. You've got me there. I probably should leave. I've never abused drugs either. Any of you who have been abused by your parents, my parents didn't abuse me. I can't help you. Those of you who are women, I'm sorry. You'll have to leave because last time I looked, I'm not a woman. I'm sensitive, nurturant, kind, thoughtful, and understanding for a guy. But I'm not a woman. Any of you who had trouble as adolescents, you know, maybe smoking pot, being reckless in your driving, running away from home. Sorry, guys. I didn't do any of that stuff either. I can't help you. I guess about the only people I could help are 28-year-old single males who have gone to college and who work at a day hospital. So if any of you are like that, please stay and we'll have a group. You see the problem? Now, that is not to say that I may not have more of a personal understanding of certain things that people come to me about. Somebody says, my 3-year-old's a brat. I can go, well, I've had 10 of those. If somebody says to me, my 13-year-old daughter has this look in her face like, why are you breathing? Why are you allowed to be breathing? I can say, I know that look. I've seen it. It's usually on my wife's face towards me, but that's another issue. You see the problem? I've noticed, and here's something I've noticed a lot. When you give advice to somebody and they tell you that you haven't walked in their shoes, know one thing. They don't want to hear your advice and they want to invalidate it. Once they can do that, you don't have credibility because what you're telling them is something they don't want to hear. If you told them something they wanted to hear, they'd say, you know, you really do understand my situation for a person who hasn't lived through it. You really have a knowledge and a personal understanding. I'm really amazed. Yeah, try telling them exactly what they might want to hear. You tell them advice that might take effort or work or will or struggle or sacrifice. Hey, you didn't walk in my shoes or you wouldn't be telling me to do that, bucko.